Do you find yourself searching for true crime podcasts that are different from what you're always recommended? Do you want to make a real difference in the cases that you're following? Well, you're a crime junkie. And I'm Ashley Flowers, the creator and host of the number one true crime podcast, Crime Junkie. There are hundreds of episodes already available, and each Monday we dive into the details of cases spanning from some of the most infamous to those that you have never heard covered before. Listen to Crime Junkie podcast now, wherever you're listening.
Ghosts, UFOs, cryptids, life after death. You'll hear great thinkers on these subjects and more on the Paranormal Podcast, the longest running podcast of its type. I'm Jim Harold, and I invite you to join me as we explore the mysteries of life. I bet you love these topics just as much as I do, but don't worry, I won't tell anyone. Join me for some great paranormal conversation. Listen on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Due to the graphic nature of this couple's crimes, listener discretion is advised. This episode includes discussions of sexual situations that some people may find offensive. We advise extreme caution for children under the age of 13. Before Kay could pull back the blanket for her daughters, they had already scrambled onto the huge mattress, bouncing with glee. Sleeping over at someone else's house felt like a special treat, like they were on a vacation and staying at a hotel. Kay encouraged the fantasy. She didn't want the girl's father to notice they'd been at her boyfriend's house. Kay settled the girls in for the night, tucking them snugly under the blanket. Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite. She gave them each a kiss, then turned off the light. Before she closed the door, she reminded the girls they weren't allowed to come out of the room until morning. Mommy's friends needed quiet time, and she trusted the girls to behave. They promised. She blew them each another kiss and shut them in for the night. Kay climbed the creaking basement steps to the main floor. She shut the door at the top of the stairs and locked it. No interruptions. When she reached the master bedroom, Kay was humming with anticipation. Inside, the man she loved waited for her. Well, him and his wife. While tonight was a culmination of weeks of planning, it would also mark the beginning of a relationship that would change Kay's life forever. A tryst that would turn deadly. Hi, I'm Lainey Hobbs, and this is our new podcast, Crimes of Passion, on the Parcast Network. The legal definition of a crime of passion is a murder that occurs in the throes of extreme emotion, leaving no time to reflect on the consequences. But in this show, we explore passionate crimes. How does a marriage progress from husband and wife to killer and victim? Or killer and co-conspirator? If there's a thin line between love and hate, what manipulates our relationships into deadly results? At Parcast, we are grateful for you, our listeners. You allow us to do what we love. Let us know how we are doing. Reach out on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and Twitter at Parcast Network. And if you enjoyed today's episode, the best way to help us is to leave a 5-star review wherever you are listening. It really does help us. We also now have merch. Head to parcast.com/merch for more information. Harold and Ina Noakes lived a typical small-town existence in McCook, Nebraska, raising their children and running a cafe. In their mid-40s, they started an unconventional relationship with 29-year-old Kay Hoyt Hine that eventually turned deadly. In this episode, we'll probe the Noakes' relationship with Kay, how it developed and later devolved. Next week, we'll explore the aftermath of a murder, the investigation, and the consequences. When Harold married Ina in April 1946, neither of them had graduated yet from McCook High School in Nebraska. 18-year-old Harold was still a month shy of earning his diploma. Ina, 16 and pregnant, would drop out and never finish. Harold was tall and athletic in high school. a basketball player with thick black hair. Although known to be reserved, he was hardworking and well-liked. While Harold stood over 6 feet tall, Ina came in just under 5. A classmate said that Ina had pursued Harold all through high school, speculating that she'd probably had her sights set on marriage all along. They welcomed a baby girl in December of 1946. Harold's decision to stand by Ina, marry her, and raise a family at such a young age was an early testament of his loyalty to her. The young couple moved to Denver, Colorado after the birth. They had both spent the entirety of their lives in Nebraska and moved their little family west to find new opportunities. But they didn't adjust well to life in a big city. After only 3 months, they returned to Nebraska in 1947. Harold and Ina were well suited for each other, enjoying boating, camping, and hunting together. Ina was an expert shot in particular, said to be able to shoot the eye out of a hawk. The family welcomed another child in 1950 when Ina was 20 and Harold 22. The couple ran a cafe in McCook, Nebraska, until they sold it in 1959. Harold went on to work for the Nebraska Department of Roads, leading a crew of men responsible for repair and maintenance of the roads, bridges, rest areas, and road signs in McCook and the surrounding areas. It was through this position that in 1968, he was introduced to Duane Hine and eventually Duane's wife, Kay Hoyt Hine. Kay Hoyt Hine was born in 1943, the middle daughter of 5 children. She was heavily doted upon by her parents, Edwin and Wilma, and could do no wrong in their eyes. According to James Hewitt's book on the Noakeses in Cold Storage, Kay's siblings labeled her as manipulative, able to work her parents from a young age. Whenever it was Kay's turn to dry the dishes, she was attacked by sneezing fits, unable to continue with the chore, even though she had no documented allergies. Wilma would swoop in and excuse Kay, taking over the drying for her. Just a note before we continue. I am not a licensed psychiatrist or psychologist, but I have done a lot of research for the show. Psychologist Carl Pickhart, author of Surviving Your Child's Adolescence, would classify Kay's behavior as manipulative. He posits that as children age, manipulation of parental authority through lying, pretense, and pressuring becomes more common. Faced with the child's tantrum, the parent feels regret or remorse for saying no, or simply seeks relief from the emotional intensity and so relents. Kay knew from a young age what buttons to push in her parents to receive whatever she desired. Like Harold and Ina, Kay Hoyt and her future husband, Duane Hine, were high school sweethearts, named the King and Queen of Hearts at the Valentine's Dance their senior year in 1961. Duane was a star athlete in high school and described by a classmate as one of the nicest, most decent guys I have ever known. They were married in 1961, soon after graduating from McCook High School, and had 2 daughters, Brenda and Angela. But their relationship changed over the course of their marriage. Kay constantly belittled her husband. Those familiar with the couple agreed Duane was a good husband and father, deserving better treatment than he received from his wife. Kay was open with her complaints about Duane, telling several friends that he made no effort to accommodate her sexual needs and desires. She felt he was more interested in his own outdoor hobbies than spending any time with her. Kay's criticisms of her husband, as well as the treatment of her parents, might indicate some narcissistic tendencies on her part. According to Darlene Lancer, an expert on toxic relationships, common forms of narcissistic abuse against loved ones include verbal abuse such as belittling or bullying, as well as manipulation. People with narcissistic personality disorder commonly have a sense of entitlement and require excessive admiration from those around them. In Kay's mind, Duane wasn't doing enough to reinforce her happiness, and that should have been his priority above all else, just like her parents. In 1968, 25-year-old Duane took a laborer job on a road maintenance crew in McCook, Nebraska, introducing him to Harold Noakes. Despite their 15-year age difference, the men had similar interests and became close friends, introducing their wives socially. 25-year-old Kay and 39-year-old Ina also connected. They both worked in downtown McCook and would often have lunch together. The couple started going out to dinner and dancing, as well as taking camping trips. Kay was never much of an outdoors woman, but she tolerated these excursions to be closer to Harold Noakes. She was increasingly attracted to the older man as her feelings towards Duane continued to cool. And on New Year's 1970, Kay told Harold of her interest. Kay loved to dance. As Duane swished her around the floor of the decorated Elks Club, she took stock of the rest of the couple's present. She was definitely the prettiest woman here and the best dancer. She'd show off even more if her husband was a more competent partner. He could barely spin her without entangling their arms. Duane was handsome in his tux, but useless with his feet. She watched Harold and Ina across the room. Their mismatched height made them look like a cartoon couple. The way Harold towered over his wife made them unsuited to most of the more complicated dance steps, but they made do. When the band took a break, Kay and Duane reunited with the other couple at a table. Ina fanned herself and complained all the dancing was making her sweat. Harold quickly leapt up to fetch his wife a drink, and Kay twinged with jealousy. She made a similar comment to her husband, Duane. She, too, was a touch warm. He just pulled out his handkerchief to dab his forehead, agreeing about the temperature, and sucked on a beer bottle. What a blockhead. When the music started again, Ina declined her husband's arm. Her feet were tired. Kay hopped up to take her place instead. She was more than happy to keep Harold company on the dance floor and leave her own husband's two left feet behind. He handily led Kay through her best steps. They moved to the center of the dance floor, and soon the other couples were circled around watching. Then the music suddenly stopped again. It was almost midnight. Ina and Duane joined their spouses in preparation of the new year. Kay felt like Cinderella, as her Prince Charming was replaced with Duane, the pumpkin. The crowd chanted a countdown. 5, 4. Kay took a step away from her husband to be closer to Harold. 3, 2. She tapped Harold on the shoulder. 1. Happy New Year. Kay leaned in and kissed Harold's lips. To her surprise, he kissed back. Even in 1970, even in Nebraska, a New Year's kiss between friends wasn't out of the ordinary. Probably nothing that either of their spouses would have even commented on, but it would mark the first step of Kay and Harold's affair. A little over a month after New Year's Eve, Kay Hoyt Hine called Harold Noakes. She needed to talk to him about something important. He picked her up from work that afternoon so they could speak away from her husband. They drove for a bit west from the city and then parked on a quiet dirt road. Kay told Harold how she felt about Duane. He didn't love her or take care of her. Most importantly, he didn't satisfy her needs. She felt so much more attracted to someone like Harold. They slept together then and there in the front seat of Harold's parked car, igniting the affair. According to psychologist Douglas LaBeer, there are 6 common types of extramarital affairs. For Kay, this was most likely an I'll show you affair, aimed at retaliating against her husband, Duane, who she felt hadn't shown her the proper amount of attention for years. In this type of affair, the anger and resentment towards one's spouse isn't dealt with, simply overshadowed by the new relationship, and in some cases, those feelings can shift to the new partner over time. Harold later told law enforcement that Kay was a hard woman to satisfy, who enjoyed a variety of sexual experiences. By March of 1970, they were meeting each other weekly at various hotels and rest stops in South Nebraska. Despite their age difference, 28-year-old Kay started to fall in love with 43-year-old Harold as the affair continued over the next several months. She began fantasizing about sharing a life with him, having a real relationship. This was no longer just an affair, but true love. Harold was always quick to talk her down. They had responsibilities to their spouses, Ina and Duane. In 1971, Kay divorced herself from those responsibilities. At that time, Nebraska did not have a no-fault divorce option, meaning Kay had to prove acts of extreme cruelty on Duane's part. Kay turned to her parents for help. Kay's parents, Edwin and Wilma, were lifelong Nebraskans and generally salt-of-the-earth people. Edwin grew up on a farm and always kept a piece of land to work through his life, even if only part-time. Wilma was a doting mother to her five children and an even more attentive grandmother. Edwin and Wilma loved to go fishing together and attend pinochle parties. Kay was always more reliant on her parents than the other four siblings. Perhaps because Kay was the last one to feed her maternal drive, Wilma could never resist an urge to help her daughter. She could be classified as an enabler to Kay's manipulative behavior. According to Dr. Jeffrey Bernstein, this relationship dynamic stems from parents who want to be needed. They want their child to be happy on his own, yet they live in fear of not doing enough to help their child get there. Wilma's entire world was her children and grandchildren. At the time of Kay and Duane's divorce hearing, neither of the Hoyts had any inkling of the affair with Harold Noakes. So when Kay told them that Duane yelled at her and the girls, verbally abusing them, Edwin and Wilma were happy to take the stand for their daughter. The judge sided with Kay and granted the divorce, awarding her full custody. Shortly after, Duane moved to Colorado and remarried there. Wilma would later discover that the testimony she gave was entirely false. With Duane out of the picture, Kay urged Harold to follow suit, divorce Ina so they could be together. Finally, in May of 1972, over 2 years after the affair began, Harold set Ina down to talk. He confessed everything to her about his relationship with Kay.